welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast, your audio source for what's going on in the Chicago theater scene. Coming up on today's podcast, we have an interview with Maura Kidwell from the Actors Workshop Theater. She will be talking to Tom Williams about her role in their latest show, Dangerous Liaisons. Also, we have an audio review for you, and of course, Chicago's theater news. So sit back and relax, and get ready to talk theater.
Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Our guest this week is Maura Kidwell, who is one of the principal actors in a new play at Actors Workshop that will open on the 29th of June. Hello, Maura.
Hello, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Great. Tell us about the play, the title is, and what it's about.
The title is Les Liaisons Dangereuses. That's translated Dangerous Liaisons in English. And it's mostly about people who are too bored to be respectable. Excuse me for passing judgment on them. But they are bored, and they use their time to have sexual warfare with each other and sabotage people's lives.
It is based on the 1782 novel that was considered scandalous. I mean, sex novels in the 18th century.
Yes, that's absolutely right. And then it was adapted by Christopher Hampton in the 1970s, I believe, and still very much has the same impact on people.
So tell us what the basic plot is.
The basic plot, oh, well, there is no basic plot to this play. It's pretty convoluted. There are two main characters who are very, very close with one another, who have this sort of twisted love together, and they compete with each other.
Are these two men, two women?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, it's a man and a woman. Valmont, who's played by C. Sean Pierman, and the Marquise de Merteuil, who's played by the lovely Jacqueline Grant, who's been seen in many an AWT production.
Yes, yes.
Those two are really, really very, very deliciously deceitful and
so they are a couple, or they have a love hate, or
they have a love. They have a love for each other, but they use it. How do I explain this? They ruin other people's lives and enjoy it, and
okay,
they see who can do a better job of it. But they are really very much in love with each other, despite all the people that whose lives they ruin by having sex with them and then burning them, to use a term you used earlier.
Okay, all right. And which character do you play?
I play the character of Madame de Tourvel, who is a character that comes into the play after exposition has happened, and she sort of shakes things up for Le Vicomte de Valmont, because he has taken on this task for himself to have this woman, Madame de Tourvel, because she's known, a direct line from the beginning of the play is that she is famous for her strict morals, religious fervor, and the happiness of her marriage. And to that, Valmont says to Merteuil, "What could be more prestigious?"
Yeah, so that's the evil in him to take this, your character, who's the good woman, and corrupting her.
Yes, exactly, and that's the pretense he operates under when he's with Merteuil. But
without giving it all away, I mean, do you cause him problems?
I do cause him problems, because unexpectedly he ends up falling in love with Tourvel, and then doesn't know what to do, because he has sabotaged her. He's ruined her. He's ruined her whole life, and so there's just a major fall from grace that takes place, but I won't.
Oh no, you can't give it away. So this is a period piece. Is it set in what era?
It's set in, well, this, that's interesting. It's not a period piece. It's not set in any certain time period.
So it's modern. It's contemporary.
Yeah. That was Michael and Jan's, sort of design, was that it was contemporary, but only because we live in a contemporary world now.
Right. Why would audiences like to see this play? What's a good reason to see it?
Great acting.
Okay.
When I'm not doing my scenes, I get to go in the audience and watch these fabulous, fabulous actors just tell a really, really great story that was always a great story, but they tell it so well. And you just really get engulfed. You feel their pain.
So there's all this maneuvering going on, mm-hmm. where people are competing and they're falling in love, and then there's all kinds of deception, right?
Yes. It's a mix of the
two. Sounds like a primetime soap opera type show.
Yeah, it is kind of the same sort of idea, all those convoluted stories intermixed with each other. We try to make it so it doesn't read like that to the audience. I would hope it's much more compelling and much more interesting to watch than soap opera. That's kind of my goal anyway, to make it very truthful and understand where she's coming from.
What got you interested in doing this play?
Well, Michael offered me the part of Torvel back, it was a long time ago now. And I guess I was curious because I had auditioned for this play in St. Louis about 2 years ago for the part of, actually the part that Sabrina Carmichael is playing, the part of Cecile. And I wasn't cast in it, and I was really disappointed because I was reading the novel at that time. I started reading the novel, which is really, really challenging, but I really liked it. And I never finished it because I never got cast in it, but I still, my interest in the play remained. I love the movie. The movie is absolutely...
Yeah, a lot of people know the movie, yes.
Yeah, the movie with Glenn Close and Chicago's own John Malkovich. Is absolutely brilliant as well. So it's every character is, well, at least in the movie that I saw and the movie that was made in the 80s, these characters who do such awful things to each other, you still feel for them, and you can still understand them and see where you could be them there, but for the grace of God, go you.
And it should work well at the Actors Workshop on their small intimate stage.
Oh yeah, it works great. Jan Graves has realized a really, really brilliant vision, which I won't describe necessarily, but I will say that it lends itself to the to both the ambiguity of the time period and also the what she describes as the dance-like dreamscape of secrets and lies. And I'll just leave it at that and let it be a surprise.
Well, you got some top people in it, and it should be a terrific show. So give us a little plug for the show. What days are you running and the ticket price and so forth? It's at Actors Workshop. I know that.
It's at Actors Workshop.
And that's over on Bryn Mawr.
1044 West Bryn Mawr. It's just a block east of the Bryn Mawr Red Line stop. So that's an easy way to get there. Also, just you could zip up Lakeshore Drive and get off at Hollywood. You go all the way up to Bryn Mawr. It's really a very convenient place.
Yeah, it is convenient.
For being
And what days
far
do you run?
We open for previews on June 27th. That's a Wednesday. Open officially on June 29th. We go all the way through August 5th.
And what days of the week you run?
We run Friday and Saturday nights at 8 and Sunday afternoon at 3.
Okay, and they can go to the actorsworkshop.org website.
That's right.
Or us a phone number.
The phone number is easy to remember, 773-728-PLAY. You can also remember it as 773-RAVE-PLAY, rave not with an E at the end, but RAV-PLAY. Yeah, and ticket prices are good. They're $25. Students and seniors pay $20. And I know Michael also often offers industry tickets, I should say, for $10 if you call ahead and make sure that he has space for them. And usually we do. We hardly ever have to turn anybody away for that.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so actors and directors and anybody in the industry, just bring a headshot and resume and
you should be good to go. Dangerous Liaisons is an interesting play, and I'm looking forward to it. But you're you know the Actors Workshop quite well because you're coming off of doing Equus, their big hit show.
Yes, yes, and I consider myself to be so very fortunate to have stumbled upon that little performing ad for Equus. Equus was my favorite play for a very long time. It still is one of my very favorite plays.
Well, you guys had a terrific run. Five Jeff Citation nominations and Peter Oyelowo winning for Best Actor.
Yeah.
That had to be terrific, yeah.
It was. I had to pinch myself the entire time. Couldn't believe it. But it was nice to see everybody's hard work really, really pay off. And I love AWT. I only moved to Chicago a little over a year ago and met them about 6 months into living here. And
so give us your background, where you're from and where you went to school and what your acting experience is.
Well, I was born and raised in St. Louis, Missouri, and I kind of played around with theater a little bit in high school because that was like the cool thing to do, but I never really did it seriously. Certainly didn't know I would want to do it for a living. I went to college at Beloit College in Wisconsin, just a couple hours north of this city. And I went there to study modern languages originally, but by chance, I decided to try out for a play, Buried Child by Sam Shepard, my freshman year. I got the part of Shelley.
That's a tough play, yes.
Oh, it was great. Yeah. We had such a good time. And it being my first play, I didn't know. I was sort of ignorant. I didn't know that it was really that tough. So I just had fun with it. But that was when one rehearsal into that, I knew this is what I wanted to do.
Okay.
So
what other plays were you in college?
I went on to do, what did I do? I did something called The Curate Shakespeare, As You Like It, by Don Nigro. It's a contemporary play about a play. That lovely play by Shakespeare. I played a character called Rosalind, which is not the actual Rosalind. I did a world premiere of a play called The Divine Miss D, which is a translation that my one of my theater advisors in college, along with a French professor, actually translated from Italian, and then we put on, and it was a great success. Perfect Pie, I played the young Marie.
Okay, what got you to come to Chicago?
It was sort of a twist of fate kind of situation. I had just lived in LA for a little while, and I tried the movie thing, and just basically I just needed to know if I could do it or not, and realized that it wasn't about not being able to do it or being able to do it. It's about either wanting to be in LA or not wanting to be in LA. And I didn't want to be in LA. But
I can understand that.
Yeah.
But you know, too many people go to LA thinking they're going to crack into film and they don't realize that learning their craft on the stage is really the way in, because they find that stage actors are so much better trained.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's very much true.
Yeah. It's more the life. It was more the lifestyle, and I don't know. I guess when you grow up in the Midwest, there's something.
Yeah, I agree. There's a culture shock.
Yeah.
Were you aware that Chicago is the hotbed for developing young actors and playwrights and theater groups?
Yeah, I had heard through the grapevine, through many people with whom I graduated from Beloit. A lot of people come here and everybody was having a good time no matter what they were doing, and I definitely had a lot of friends in theater who were having great success here in both theater and dance and all those kinds of performing arts. So I figured, all right, I'll just do it. It's close to home. It's a big city close to home, and it's been wonderful. It's been nothing but wonderful.
And what were the first couple of plays you were in here?
I was in the first play I did was last summer. It was Closer with Mob Productions at Victory Gardens. And That was a fun time. That was a different role for me. The second play I did was this. It was a series of one acts done at Guerrilla Tango by the Dream Engine Theater Company, John Zajic and Doug Valenta. Great, great couple of guys. Wonderful theater company. Brilliant work. I played the character of the girl in Mr. Paradise. That was absolutely a wonderful experience. I really felt I grew a lot playing that character. And I was also an ensemble member of Boom Troop, which is a traveling theater company. We did assemblies, educational assemblies for K through 8 on a variety.
What are those?
Of
now you go into the grade schools.
Yeah.
And what do you do? Performance pieces or what?
Yeah, they had a choice of 10 plays to choose. Well, the elementary schools had 7 and middle schools had 3 to choose from. Anywhere from bullying, tolerance, diversity.
So you acted out on stage social issues that the kids need to learn about.
Some of them were plays with characters about that, funny plays. Some of them were funny with a little more heavy stuff. We had like a very Saved by the Bell-ish thing that we did for 8th graders going into high school. That was really fun. And that touched upon all of their issues going into high school. Some of them were just discussion-based. We would just go and talk with the kids. And it was very rewarding. Every now and then, you know, you get tired of driving out there in the snow, of course, and some of them were really early, and it wasn't always easy, but every now and then a kid will come up to you and say that really, I really liked your show, and not joking, not trying
well,
to impress their
friends. Yeah, you can tell when they're sincere.
No, they come and tell
you. So that was a daytime gig. In the meantime, in the evening, you're auditioning for work in theater.
That's right. Yeah, and it just ended as the school year ended, I took that opportunity to delve myself into the life of Hurry Up and Wait with the auditioning for commercials and industrial kind of stuff, and been doing okay with that so far.
Well,
knock on wood.
And then you saw the ad for Equus.
I saw the ad for Equus. I was trying to remember even actually today when that must have been. It must have been mid-December. And I had no idea who was putting it on. I didn't know who AWT was, but I knew I wanted that part. I knew the first time I read Equus I would be a part of telling that story in some capacity. I knew it. And I knew I was ready to play the role of Jill, and I did.
Yeah, and you did a terrific job with it, and it certainly got you known around Chicago, because a lot of the critics all came to see it, and the Jeff Committee, because it was Jeff recommended.
Oh yeah.
And that's always a benefit. Plus it's a powerful play that reached a lot of people.
Yes, I agree. It was a powerful play, and I'm so appreciative to everybody who came. It is very, very nice as a newcomer to have been seen by so many people, and to have been part of a story that affected so many people. I know that people from all over came to see the show because they'd heard about it, and it was a very special time indeed.
Well, and I'm sure it's a growth as an actor for you to do that show, and it's now led to doing Dangerous Liaisons.
Yes, yeah, everything kind of came together that way. I'm now an ensemble member at AWT, so and I'm really, really happy about that, because I think it has led me to be able to participate in more than just my role in the play. I was just there today helping Jan out with putting up her lovely vision of a set, and I love that stuff.
In storefront theater, everybody chips in and does everything.
Ideally, yeah, they do, and AWT is no exception. Everybody is extremely hardworking and has their minds in the right place theatrically, and in many other ways too.
Well, that's great. I'm glad things are working out for you. And so the show is Dangerous Liaisons.
That's right.
And this is a kind of a potential breakout role for you.
Potential. Yeah.
Well, we'll see. I see it. I don't want to judge on it. But But I thought you were excellent in Equus, and I do know the play. It is a strong play. So you have a good vehicle. And Michael Colucci's directing. Michael's an excellent director.
So, best.
Yeah, and you've got a good cast. I know a lot of the actors in the lead lady. I remember her in Beauty Queen of Lanon. She was dynamite.
Yeah. Most people do. Yeah. I unfortunately didn't get to see that, but I feel like I have as much as I've heard about it.
All right, let me ask you now. It sounds like you want to make acting a career.
That's right. Well, I like to think that I've started in the process, and actually it hasn't been until recently that I've been able to say that I actually earn a living doing what I love, and that feels really good.
So few people get to make a living. Of course, they say you can't make a living as an actor, but you can make a killing.
That's right.
That's like John Mahoney told me, struggled 25 years doing local theater in Chicago, and then he landed a couple of films, and then he got Frasier, and now he's a zillionaire. But
his story is just the inspiration.
You just never know when it's going to happen, when the breakout is. But they all say if you learn your craft and you just keep growing, I think you're on the right track, because a lot of the film casting directors will say they like stage actors because they can learn lines, they know how to get in character. The people that are film trained, a lot of them can't even learn the lines. They have to actually have them mime them and then read them in later, and then they splice it together.
Yeah, as long as they have the technology, people will take advantage of it.
Yeah, but that having stage actors, the advantage is they can get it in one take, because a director can say, this is how I want you to play this, and you know how to get in character, and you can learn a line. So that in the long run, they save a lot of money having stage actors, and the product ends up much better.
That's good to know.
I've been told by a lot of people. And yet, once you get into film, when you come back, you'll want the stage, because you'll need that interaction with the audience and that sense of continuity, the beginning, the middle, and the end.
Yeah.
Which is, film is not done that way,
Yeah, film, I guess, for a stage actor is a good place to really practice being in the moment and not worrying about getting your voice to the back of the house necessarily, and just trying to fill the moments with truth. I can't imagine doing that all the time, though. There's something exhilarating about reaching that person in the back of the house.
Yeah. And you guys certainly did in Equus.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah.
Good acoustics in that little space.
Well, and you guys, you have a strong voice, and you know how to project, which a lot of people know is my pet peeve. That and you're articulate. You're not running through your lines real quick, like people do in plays. It drives me up the wall. But you sound like you're excited about.
Very excited. Yeah. Oh, I'm very excited. Every day, this has been a long process, because as Equus got extended, as did the rehearsal period of Les Liaisons Dangereuses, and we used every minute of it, and everyone stayed as dedicated as they started out through that process. There was no tortoise in the hare syndrome. Nobody dropped interest in the middle. We had a few people, unfortunately, who had to leave for other projects, but got some wonderful people.
Well, that's good. Things always happen in strange ways, but you had a time to really get the show down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, most definitely. I cannot wait to show it to people.
Well, we will see it starting June 29th, and it's going to run till when?
August 5th.
Through August 5th.
Yep.
Okay, we're looking forward to it. And Maura, thank you for the interview, and we wish you the best of luck, and break a leg.
Thank
come,
you so
come
very
Friday.
Much.
Come Friday. I will be there, and I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, I'll see you then, Tom. Okay. Thanks for having me.
And folks, thank you, and go see a play this week.
Hello, Chicago, and welcome to another elegant episode of the Talk Theater in Chicago News podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Mote, bringing you Chicago's theater news for the week of June 25th, 2007. The Chicago company of Wicked announced it has become the longest-running Broadway musical in Chicago theater history. Wicked has grossed over $125 million at the box office, setting new records not only for single-week grosses, but for all-time grosses in Chicago history. That may be due to the fact that over 2 million audience members have seen our production of Wicked, or that June 21st marked the 833rd performance at the Ford Center for the Performing Arts, aka the Oriental Theater. Now, the only other show to come this close in Chicago theater history was Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. That was from 1996 to 97. Now, keep in mind, this is the longest-running Broadway musical in Chicago history. So much congratulations to the Chicago company of Wicked. Not only that, Wicked has made a wish for two children who got to spend the day with Elphaba and other members of the company as they did a sing-along of Defying Gravity. This was on Thursday in front of an audience at the Water Tower Square Park. Wicked, throughout the month of September, will also be making a donation to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. The money made from those certain tickets sold on the Tuesday and Wednesday performances will go directly to the foundation. Also, the company will be auctioning off a series of VIP experiences to the show, with all those proceeds going to the Make-A-Wish Foundation as well. It's wonderful to see the charitable contributions made by Wicked, and we hope they stick around for much, much longer. Profiles Theater has announced its 2007-2008 season, which will be entirely devoted to the works of the famous playwright and filmmaker Neil LaBute. Profiles will be continuing its collaboration with Neil LaBute, following on the heels of the Midwest premieres of Fat Pig and Autobahn, both of which were hits for Profiles. So this 2007-2008 season will be presenting four new Midwest premieres of LaBute, including an evening of new short plays. Starting on September 10th will be Some Girls, a story of a single man on an odyssey to meet up with five ex-girlfriends and right some wrongs. I'm definitely interested in seeing that one. Opening on November 12th will be Things We Said Today. That will be the collection of short works, and that will be running up through the holiday season. Opening up on January 14th of 2008 will be This Is How It Goes, a story which explores the ways in which the wild card of race relations is played by both blacks and whites in America. The fourth production has actually yet to be announced, which is really exciting for me, so make sure you keep checking back right here to the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast for the title and the production dates of that fourth show. And on a sadder note, Laura Wiley, a co-director and co-founder of Chicago's Albany Park Theater Project, died last Monday from cancer at the age of 41. Albany Park Theater Project was founded by Mrs. Wiley and her husband, David Finer. The company is a nationally known youth ensemble made up of mostly high school age students. She had touched many lives with her work, and she is an artist that will be truly missed. For more information on the Albany Park Theater Project and the life of Laura Wiley, visit aptpchicago.org. Again, that's aptpchicago.org. Well, thank you for listening to this elegant episode of the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. We have come to the end of the news, but before we let you go, it's time for your Shakespeare Quote of the Week. The following quote comes from Troilus and Cressida, Act 4, Scene 5. The kiss you take is better than you give. Well, thank you very much for listening to this little podcast. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode ready to stick in your ears. So, until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.
You're listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago Review Podcast, Cat's Paw by William Mastrosimone, directed by Matthew Singletary and produced by Loud Bite Productions at Profiles Theater. Review by Tom Williams. Loud Bite Productions is a new troupe of New Yorkers landing in Chicago because we have a thriving storefront theater movement that fosters to the talented. I'm happy to say a rousing welcome to Loud Bite for their well-acted Cat's Paw. Steve Gribben as Victor and Tanessa LaRocque as Jessica, both founding members of the troupe, are reason enough to see this scary and telling work. Williams Mastrosimone's intelligent and clever script traces how an underground group of well-meaning idealist activists passionate about saving and purifying the world's water supply. The small group has taken an EPA bureaucrat, David Darling, played by Daniel Liu, in an emotionally wrenching performance, hostage, demanding that all the major newspapers publish their rambling manifesto on their front pages. It is now 35 days after their deadline, and since the FBI haven't given in to their demands, they have detonated a suicide car bomb outside of the EPA building in Washington, D.C., killing 27 people. Written in 1986, Mastrosimone sure has an understanding of the mindset of eco-terrorists. He also understands the role of media and the shock-and-awe strategy of activists. Victor's plan allows for Jessica Lyons, played by the terrific Tanessa LaRocque, to be used as a TV journalist to give their cause the worldwide coverage necessary to alert the world to the water crisis. Of course, the killing of 27 people by a suicide bomber moved the group from activism to terrorism. Victor seems like a sociopath, believing that he alone knows how to make the end justify his means, including killing innocent people. The dynamics of hostage relationships with their captive, the interplay of interviewer versus interviewee, and the power struggle among the zealots of a movement that escalates to the extreme are marvelously covered in Cat's Paw. We witness events getting out of hand when an impassioned leader, Victor, lies to everyone, manipulates all, and eventually betrays his cause. This is a disturbing yet engaging play that smartly covers the complex and multi-layered issues. The question of what means are ethical and moral to use to right a wrong, especially a complicated problem like water purification, and where does activism cross over to terrorism, is dramatically played out here. This play is a cautionary warning to society. It gives a face to idealistic youth whose passion becomes a threat to society. These newcomers are a talented group whose strong acting aptly gets Mastrosimone's play across in a scary scenario that could be out of tomorrow's headlines. I hope Loud Bite Productions finds an audience. They deserve one for this strong show. I give this a recommended rating. Cat's Paw by William Mastrosimone, directed by Matthew Singletary and produced by Loud Bite Productions at Profiles Theater, located at 4147 North Broadway in Chicago, Illinois, now through July 21st. For tickets and more information, please call 773-381-6868.
Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast. I would like to thank Maura Kidwell for giving us the honor of interviewing her this week. I would also like to thank Tom Williams and Mark Meyer. Without them, this podcast would not be possible. And, most importantly, I would like to thank you, our listening audience. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode ready for your listening pleasure. So, until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Mote, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.